Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Very thankful to have the opportunity to bring the Word of God this morning to all of you. Before I kind of give a little bit of introduction, as Mark already said, I want us to begin in prayer because we can't do nothing without the Lord. Will you please join me in prayer? Dear gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can gather this morning to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you so much, Father God, that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross. And as we worship you here this morning, I pray, Father God, that your Holy Spirit will be in our midst, that your word will be what speaks, and that as we hear your word, that we learn to see our afflictions, our struggles and difficulties as the means by which you, Father God, sanctify us and help us to focus upon you, Father God. Help us, O God, to see that our only hope is you, Jesus Christ. Help us, Father God, to see that our reward is in heaven, that this world, though, has many good things, Father God. There's nothing greater and better than to be with you, Father God. So, God, be with us this morning. Help us, O God, to worship you, Father God. Take away any distractions and anything that is not of you. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. All right, so household items. So, you probably already noticed that I have an accent, so I'm going to begin with that. I'm originally from Panama, Central America. It's near Colombia. I heard Andres is from Colombia, so if you know where Colombia is located, Panama is right next to Colombia. It is a small country. That's where the Panama Canal is. I moved to the United States when I was 17 years old. The whole purpose of coming here was pursuing the American dream. At that time, I was not a believer. And so I moved to Atlanta, Georgia. And in 2012, I graduated from Southern Wesleyan University. And one of my friends invited me to, hey, how about you move to the St. Louis area and come work as a janitor and you get your master's for free? I'm like, yeah, 100%. Like, I had no intention of getting a graduate degree. And so I moved up here. I got my master's degree in human resource management. But during that year, I was not a believer at that time. And during that year and a half that I was going to graduate school, I was partying, going out, doing all different kinds of things. And at one point, all of that just became meaningless. And I remember vividly being in a huge party and just asking myself, is this where I want to be when I'm 30 years old? I'm 33 years old now. And so the Lord led me back to the church. And in 2014, I became a believer in Christ. And I have not looked back ever since then. And the Lord put in my heart the desire to minister, to be involved in ministry. And thankfully, he has put me many places and many things to be able to minister his word. And one of the things that I enjoy much, it's proclaiming his word. And so I currently work for Impact City FC. It's a soccer ministry that uses soccer as a tool to reach out to the generations, to the kiddos. And so people who may not step into the church every day, they get influenced by coaches. Twice a week, we get the ability to teach them soccer, but also we plainly share the gospel. We share Christ with them. So it's a wonderful ministry that I'm part of. I started working there in 2020. During the COVID years in 2018, I began my journey of seminary, and I finished school last year in 2022, and I got my master's in divinity. And I got married in 2020, my beautiful wife, Megan, and then my firstborn, Zion, he's in the nursery right now, was born June 1st. So that's a little bit about myself, but, you know, I know that you're more interested in hearing about what the Word of God has to say, so I'm going to focus on that. And so the passage that we're going to be spending time on is going to be 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. So just three verses, but it's so packed, it's so dense, there's so much in that verse, in those three verses, that I hope that as we hear the Word of God, as we learn about difficulties and affliction, that we are able to finish the end of our service, recognizing that there's a purpose for everything that is happening in our life. And so that's my hope for this morning. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. Will you please join me in the reading of the Word of God? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light and momentary afflictions is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. This is the word of the Lord. So, you know, over the past weeks or so, you know, there are struggles, difficulties that part of my job is causing in my heart. So in one of my roles, I have to recruit, bring kids into our club because a lot of the vitality of our club depends upon younger kids joining our club. But I also have to make sure that I go to schools and promote what we do as Impact City. And all of that is a way that we, you know, they hear the gospel, they're hearing from Christ. But there are some responsibilities that weighs heavy on me because a lot of it, if I fail at my job, there's going to be some repercussions that affect the growth of the club. And often I keep checking my emails every day to see, oh, the new people register for our programs, the new rate, and just going through that. And I'm like, but whenever emails will not come in, I will feel down. I will feel just disappointed. Right, because my expectations were focused on the things that I see. My expectations are set on things that bring me some level of gratification. And I'm sure all of us, in some capacity, we place our hope in the temporal things. Whether we want our marriage to go well and bring us great satisfaction, or our jobs, our kids, our careers. We look at the things that this world offers, and we place our hope in those things. And often more than not, they disappoint us. Often more than not, we find ourselves hurt because it did not deliver what we were expecting. And that happens to me more often than not. So I started asking the Lord, Lord, how do I grow from looking at the temporal things, from looking at the things that this world offers as my hope, as my satisfaction? How do I learn to look away from those things and look at you? And this is where the Lord led me in this passage. And so my goal for this sermon is that we learn when things are not going our way, it's not because God hates us or he does not want us to grow or to develop. But it's because God wants us to take away our focus from ourselves, from our jobs, from our careers, from our children's, from the temporal things, which are good things, a job, family, all of those things are good things. But they are not the excellent thing. The excellent thing is our hope is in Christ Jesus. And that is the title for our sermon. And so in context, what was happening in the Corinthian church is that they were going through persecution. They were going through difficulties. And Paul felt that it was necessary to tell the people, the Corinthian church, not to lose heart. Because even though that they were going through difficulties and pain, there was a purpose for their afflictions. There's a purpose for the difficulties. That hope this morning, for us to see that there is a purpose for every affliction that we go in life. Every single affliction. There's absolutely nothing that we are facing in this world as children of God that is not for his benefit. So title is Our Hope in Christ Alone. The theme for today is future glory. And so, and what I'm going to seek to unfold is this. We do not lose heart, because we know that the afflictions of yesterday, today, and tomorrow are producing in us a greater hope in Jesus Christ. We do not lose heart because we know that the afflictions of yesterday, today, and tomorrow are producing in us a future hope in Jesus Christ. There are 3 points, and the third point is my application. Point number one is, the old nature needs to die so that the new nature can come. It needs to die. Second, affliction is one of God's way to cause believers to focus on eternal life. And as for application, the way that we overcome afflictions is by focusing on the future glory. All right, let's look at verse 16 and see to unpack what is the old nature. Why does it need to die? So verse 16 says this. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. So we got to be asking, what is the outer self? The outer self is the physical body in process of decaying, and eventually it will die. The outer self is the old nature being put to death in order for the inner man, the image of Christ, finally reign supreme in us. You know, all of us, when we came to faith in Christ Jesus, we became a new creation, right? The Holy Spirit came upon our life, is dwelling, is living in us. But yet we are in this state of the already not yet, right? We're in this state in which, yes, we have the new self dwelling in us, working inside of our heart to bring about the image of Christ. But yet the old self is still waging war against the new self. Galatians chapter 5 talks about how the desires of the flesh against the desires of the spirit, right? And then we must put those desires to die. So that's what we're talking about. The outer self is referring to the physical body, but also is referring to the sinful us that is still dwelling in us. This is why Paul in Romans chapter 7, verse 21 to 24 says this. So I find it to be a law that I want to do the right, but evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of the goal of God in my inner self, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. So the already that yet is an internal struggle that we are facing. Right, that's the outer man, the physical body, right? So joints are hurting, we go through sickness, we go through difficulties, right? That's part of the dying, right? The aspect that we are aging, that's part of the dying. Because our body were not meant to be like this. I mean, Satan tempted Eve, and so sin came into the world, so now death entered. Let me tell you something, death was not natural. It's not supposed to be part of ourselves, but because of Eve and Adam disobeying the word of God, now it came into our world. So now sickness, emotional pain, emotional struggles, family dispute, all of those things came into the world. So now all of those things have to go away. You know, last week, Pastor Sergey said that one of the things when we think about eternity is this. If you want to summarize eternity, is this. Everything bad that is about this world will stay. But everything that is good will be with us. So that's the outer self. That's everything that is decaying, everything that is not good. That needs to be taken away. So now the inner self. The inner self is the soul of every believer, the new creation, the eternal part of all who are born of Christ. So if you are born of Christ, you are a new creation. You have eternity in you, and this is what we long for eternity. This is what we long for this world to end so that we can be united with God, our Creator. He's the one who created us. We were made for Him, so we're longing for that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Do you live in that reality? This is not a past statement. This is not a future statement. This is not saying that you will be a new creation. This is saying that you are. That verse changed my life. Because I'm like, I'm a Christian, but I'm still sinning. I'm like, Lord, what's going on here? Why am I still sinning? Because that's the life of a Christian. So I will find myself identifying more with my old nature. But then I read this verse and say, no, you are a new creation. So I started, no, I am new. I am new. I am new. So do we live with that reality? Brothers and sisters in Christ, if you have trusted and believe in Jesus Christ, you are a new creation. Do not let Satan bung you down by saying, no, 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 look at your past. Look at what you have committed. That is a false. It's a trap. No, you are new. So if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. And as a new creation, right, our outer self is being put to death, but our inner self, the verse talks about, is being renewed, right? It's being renewed day by day. And the way by which we are being renewed day by day is, first and foremost, not conforming to the patterns of this world. This is where Paul in chapter 12 talks about. Do not conform to the patterns of this world. Do not conform to the patterns of the world. Right? But renew your mind so that by doing so, you'll be able to discern what is the will of God. So that you will be able to know what is good and acceptable and perfect. Paul here is implying that the way that we renew our minds is by spending time in the Word of God. You know, Pastor Rick, I met Pastor Rick last week on Friday. He mentioned that he's going to some spiritual disciplines. What are things that we need to be doing in order to grow as believers in Christ Jesus? Spending time with the Word of God. Spending time in prayer. Memorizing. Meditating. Times of solitude. Fellowshipping as we're doing. Those are the things that we need to be doing day by day. So that the inner man can grow. And the outer man can die. Right? We have a battle that we are fighting. John tells us that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, these are the things of this world. So these are the things that we need to fight. Talks about that we have three enemies, ourselves, the world, and the devil. So, and the only way that we overcome those things is by renewing ourselves, by spending time in the Word of God. Here's an illustration for you. This is from Frank Viola, and he calls a poem about the favorite place on earth. He says this: while brokenness is difficult, it's beautiful because it makes God look good. Your natural gift draws attention to yourself, while brokenness draws attention to your Lord. With this in mind, power is dangerous in the hands of unbroken vessels. Hemingway Finley says, the world breaks everyone, and afterward, many are strong and the broken places. The Christian understands that God is the one who breaks us, and he uses the world and his instrument for doing so. What it's basically saying is this, like the brokenness, the difficulties, the decaying that we experience in our life is to help us not to put our strength in ourselves, but is to look at Christ. You know, I think chapter 12 of this same chapter talks about how Paul kept pleading with the Lord, take this thorn away from me. And the Lord says, no, for my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. So Paul ends up in expression, says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. So the Lord, the outer self is dying so that we don't rely on our strength. You know, I think about nowadays there's cosmetic surgery. And it's good advancement, right? They're, you know, people go through vasectomy or different things like that, and they can go to reconstructive surgery. There's great thing for this. But also it's being used for evil. You know, people are aging. I mean, aging is a great thing. I'm looking forward. Yes, it's painful, but I'm looking forward to being an older man and with gray hair and everybody looking at me as wise. You know, maybe I'm not that wise, whatever. But I'm looking forward to aging because that means that I'm getting closer to the end of my temporal life in here. But nowadays, everybody's seeking to preserve their youth, to preserve their persona. You know, just saw that image of Madonna. She went through a plastic surgery, and she just looks unrecognizable. Why? Why not embrace aging? Why not embrace the brokenness that we're experiencing? It is because
they're trying to preserve their earthly body. But that's going to pass away. That's going to end. So for us Christians, let us recognize that aging is a good thing, right? Pains, difficulties, even though it's not fun, it's good as believers, very good. So whatever affliction, whatever difficulties, it's from the Lord. It is because the Lord wants you to not focus on yourself, but to focus on Him. So the dying to ourselves, right, is a process, right? We get sick, our joints hurt, broken bones. We experience sickness, cancer, heart disease, organ failure. Emotionally, we deal with anxiety and stress, anger, depression. Spiritually, we got to deal with ourselves. But all of those things are the means that the Lord is using. All of those things, the Lord is using it for your good. So the old nature needs to die so that the new one must come. So now let's look at verse 17. So I mentioned a little bit of affliction. And I said that afflictions are a good thing as we are aging. But how? How are afflictions a good thing? That's to be honest, they're not. I mean, just this morning, I went to bed at my normal time, and I'm laying in bed. Out of the sudden, my wrist, it just starts to hurt. And I'm like, why this is hurting? I'll tell you, it was not fun. I'm trying to go to sleep. I got to wake up early in the morning. Why this is hurting? And so in the moment, it was not fun. I did not like it. Did not like that my wrist was hurting. Well, nice. I'm thank God that it feels good. And it still feel a little bit uncomfortable. It's not hurting anymore. So in the moment, afflictions, when we go into them, they are not fun. But there's a point. And so the second point is this. Affliction is God's way to cause believers not to focus on ourselves, but to focus on eternal life. Verse 17, for this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal way of glory beyond all comparison. It's a preparation. It's heaven focus. What is coming? That's what they're doing. You know, this is why Paul is telling the Corinthian church, yes, you're going through difficulties, you're going through pain, right? But the purpose is preparing for you something greater that whenever this world ends, you know, verse 18 talks about this same verse, it's light, right? You know, when we think about eternity, it's when we compare it, it's like a dot that is invisible in this room. Like this dot, and we look at eternity, it's like this is the light, the momentary affliction. So what are afflictions? Affliction is that which causes pain and suffering through physical infirmity or mental distress. And so there are many reasons that individuals can go through affliction. Number one, affliction can be a direct consequence of sin, right? This is our willful disobedience to God. Affliction can be a judgment from God to His people. We see that a lot often taking place in the Old Testament, when the Israelites fail to disobey God through my reading plan. You know, the Israelites say, oh man, the onions and the meat in Egypt were far better for us. We should go back there. And they forgot that you guys were slaves. And they're saying that, man, we'd rather stay slave so that way we can eat meat. So the Lord says, okay, right, fine. I'm going to make quail fly over. But you're going to eat so much that you're going to get sick. And the Lord brings that affliction upon them. Affliction can purify us and help us to develop endurance. We see Daniel. In the book of Daniel, we see Daniel being put in the lion's den. We see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being thrown into the fire furnaces, and they were fine. Affliction can occur for God's divine purpose. You know, the revealed things are given to us, but that which is unrevealed is of the Lord. There's a divine purpose. So you may never know in this side of earth why you're going through any pain, why you have difficulties in your marriage or at work or with your children or whatever it is. You may never know because there's a divine purpose in it. Affliction is part of living in this fallen world. So let us get used to it. This idea of pursuing nirvana, this idea of pursuing this perfect world in which everybody's collaborating and kumbaya, my Lord, and everybody's at peace. No, this world is broken. It's not going to happen, right? It's not going to happen. Affliction can be the result of persecution for Jesus' sake. And it's coming. It's happening more and more. You know, if you're familiar, woke movement and LGBT, all of those different things that are coming in our culture, that little by little are seeking to. I'll say this, we are in a post-Christian era, meaning that the time in which everybody has this general understanding that, oh no, yeah, Christianity is good for the world, good for the United States, that's over, right? The moment that you mention that you're a Christian, I don't know if I want to associate with this person. I was just listening to, I can't remember the name, but he said like in the 1970s, 1% of the population was identified as part of the LGBT. And it says there's a trend that each year or every 10 years, it doubles. Now I said that almost 50% of our population, it's identified as LGBT. So it's just things just changes. So that means that in 2050, all of us are going to identify as part of that class. So it's a changing world. It's they may not think so, but it's a religion, right? Because if you don't agree with them, you cast off from your job. You know, many people have gotten fired because they don't want to abide by new company policies. That's one of the ways in which you're going to be attacked. It's through your jobs. So those things, if you're not following to the new agenda, that's how you're being attacked. So that's persecution. And affliction can be the result of direct attack from Satan. Satan is plowing around like a roaring lion, seeking to see who's going to devour. You know, affliction is part of living in this world. We will all suffer headaches, injuries, disappointment, rejection, and sickness. All of those things are part that we're going to be going through. So now we learn what are afflictions. So what is the goal? That's what you'll be looking for. What is the goal of afflictions? I'm glad you asked. The afflictions that we go through our life is one of God's the one way that he uses to reveal sin so that way we can confess it. Right? I share this with my wife all the time. Man, the fact that you are able to see your sin, that is a great thing. Because that means that the Lord is, hey, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. So the Lord is using pain and difficulties to reveal that which is not good in you so that you may confess it, so that way you can be cleansed from all that. That's one of the ways. That's the goal. Like, usually when things are going good, we don't see our sins. We are great. But usually when in the middle of the night, you're tired, the baby wakes up crying, and he does not want to fall asleep right away like he usually does. And so you got to be holding it, and you are there trying to rationalize with a baby that has no reasoning at all. All he knows how to do is to cry. So that was my experience last Friday. Usually I know what words from my son Zion. I grab him, hold him for 5 minutes, give him a bottle. Putting down to bed, I'm tired. It's like, I'm not falling asleep. Hold me longer. It's like, no, go to sleep. I go to my bed thinking maybe if I put him on the bed, I lower the speaker, he's gonna calm down. No, he keeps crying and crying and crying. So I have to lie. The Lord's revealing my anger, my lack of impatience. So how to pause? And I'm like, wow. So how to confess that? Lord, will you take away my anger? Will you give me patience? So I grabbed him. He needed to be comforted. He had probably a bad dream. So that's why he panicked, because he doesn't usually wake up like that. So he just wakes up crying. So I had to stop and hold him. He held him till he finally calmed down and he went back to sleep. So you see how that altercation right there revealed in me something that the Lord wants to take away. Afflictions are there to show us where we put our trust, right? You know, I already mentioned my job. Am I putting my trust in the success of my job? And it is. And the Lord said, why? Why are you putting your trust in your job? Why are you putting your trust in your marketing ideas or your communication skill? Why? I am the Lord. Everything that exists, I rule it. So I have to humble myself and go to the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, help me. Help me not to focus on that which is seen. Afflictions expose the deepest desire of our heart. They expose those things. Afflictions burn away the trust that we have on the seen world, and it helps us to focus on the unseen. Whenever weddings are great, and one of the ways weddings are great because it's a celebration, and usually, you know, for our wedding, we make sure that we try to have Pastor Sergei share the gospel. But usually, most people don't really reflect much upon their eternality or anything like that. Upon, oh man, this is a great message. I need to follow Christ. But go to a funeral. That brings a sovereign reminder to people who are not believers. Like, whoa, this, what am I living for? It brings them into existential crisis. Funerals. Because now people are realizing, hey, you do not live forever. What's going to happen when you die? What's going to happen to you? And so it shows us where to, it gets us to seeing from trusting in this world to trusting in the future glory. He makes us steadfast. He makes us immovable. He makes us perfect and complete. He makes us weak so that Christ's power may rule in us. He helps us to find our hope in Jesus Christ. He makes us long for the unseen, and help us long for God so that we may only rest on the power of Christ alone in his resurrection. So whatever difficulties, struggles, affliction, suffering that you're going through in your life, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's spiritual, all of those things are producing in you an eternal weight of glory. So do not lose heart. They are light. But see how those afflictions are helping you to trust in the Lord more. And afflictions are for a moment because eternity is forever. So this is kind of going into a little bit of the application. When you go into afflictions and difficulties in your life, you have to start looking at what is the Lord doing in this? Where's my focus? Lord, what are you trying to reveal? Where am I putting my hope? And I'm sharing this with y'all, not saying that I've overcome my hope upon seeing more registrations coming in my job. No, I still check that email. So I have to do some practical step to, hey, I got to silence my email so I'm not checking, because I really desire for me to believe that as I pray that I'm trusting God as the one that is going to give me and give us everything that we need. Our affliction are for a moment because eternity is forever. Romans 8:18 says this, for I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth compared with the glory that is to reveal in us. So whatever you're going through, focus on the future. What's coming, what's going to give in to you, what you have gave up. Oh, man, it's not going to compare to being with the Lord. This is from C.S. Lewis in the Epic Conclusion. If you are familiar with the Chronicles of Narnia, the last book is the final battle. And this is what it says is this. The last chapter. The things that began to happen after they were so great and beautiful that I cannot write them. And for us, this is the end. So this is the end of this story. And we can most truly say that they all live happily ever after. So Disney does not compare. But for them, It was only the beginning of the real story. All their life in this world had only been the cover title page. Now at last, they were beginning in chapter 1. The great story which no one on earth has read, which just goes on forever and ever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. So what's coming? And right now we're on the book title. But what's coming is an never-ending story of enjoyment with God. So our afflictions and the difficulties, they are for a moment in light of what is coming, in light of what you will receive. So affliction is God's way to cause believers to focus on eternal life. And then as for application, and my final point is this from verse 18. The way that we overcome affliction is by focusing on the future glory. Verse 18 says this, as we look not to the things that were seen, but the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So what are the seen things? The seen things is everything temporal that this world has to offer. This means that everything that we work, value, and try to enjoy is temporal. Everything that we place value, everything that, you know, the good things will still be part of heaven. I mean, I already mentioned that. But everything that, you know, we often place our hope, that's going to pass away. It's going to end up. And in Luke chapter 12, verse 13 to 21, this is the parable of the rich fool, says this, someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, man, who made me judge or arbitrator over you? And he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist of the abundance of his possession. And he told a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentiful, and he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crop. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build a larger one. And there I will store all my grains and my goods. And I will say to my soul, you have ample goods laid up for you for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So application number one, we have to recognize that it is not about laying up treasures for ourselves upon this earth, because it will be taken away, will be destroyed, because we will live this world, right? I'm not saying there's absolutely nothing wrong with enjoying life. I mean, Ecclesiastes is a book that talks about enjoy life. You know, life is a gift from God, but not as your treasure, not as the main longing of your soul. So this is the unseen. This is what happened to the rich young fool. He thought to himself, man, I've done all this. I'm going to store it. I'm going to eat and relax. The issue was not that he wanted to relax or store barns. All of those things are a gift from God. The issue was that his heart was set upon this world. And he did not give praise to God. Because the Lord has blessed us tremendously in this nation. I mean, I'm from Panama, and I'm telling you, in America, we are blessed. I'll tell you this much. Very, very blessed. Regardless of where socioeconomic status you are, I promise you that you are far, far, we are far, far better than a lot of places. That we are far blessed. And so this is why a lot of people seek to come into this country, because it's a tremendous blessing. So point one of our application, don't put your trust in the things of this world. Because it's God's pleasure to give it to you.
So what are the unseen things?
The unseen things, it is the kingdom of heaven.
Let's look at another parable. Matthew 6, verse 25 to 33. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. It is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Are you not more valuable than they? It's wonderful. I love that verse. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why you are anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. They grow, they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which one day is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious by saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Here's the second point of application. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So, first, we take away our eyes from the seen things. Take away our eyes from the seen things as the hope, as the main satisfaction in life, because we just read from Matthew that it is the Lord's good pleasure to give you all these things, and he has done so. It's the Lord's pleasure to give you all these things, so don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Second point of application is it's how. How, when I'm in the middle of afflictions and difficulties and pain, number one, don't look at the same thing. Don't look at what he offered. Don't look for your satisfaction in this. Number two, seek first the kingdom of God. Seeking first. What does that mean? It goes back to spending time with him, reading, praying, fellowshipping with other believers. Seek the Lord first. Make him the center of your heart. Third point, and all these things will be given unto you. He will give you those things. So as you go through difficulties and pain and afflictions, recognize that there is for your good. It's helping you not to look at what this world offers. It is helping you to look what the Lord has to give us. And he will give you. And that was my answer as I was asking the Lord, Lord, how do I take away my eyes from putting my hope upon what this world offers, whether my job, whether my family, whether my son, whatever it may be, whatever it may be that you are hoping for that this world may offer. Again, please don't hear me say that these are bad things. No, they are good things. It's a gift from the Lord. But they are not it. They are not the main thing. They are not the main thing that will satisfy our soul. The main thing that satisfies our heart, minds, and soul, the main thing that helps us to focus upon our Lord is seeking him first. And that was the answer for me. Seek his kingdom and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto me. Mark mentioned this morning that we believe. That we believe that the Lord is going to do amazing things for our life. So do we believe these things? Whatever level of anxiety or stress and difficulties, because they're real. I used to say, like, I don't struggle with anxiety. Oh, man. 2020 changed that for me. When I started that new job, I was like, woo. Because I did for a while, I did manage job. I was not responsible for nobody. I didn't have a family. I was single. I was not responsible for anything. So the success or the failure of the school did not lay upon me. All I had to do was clean and fix stuff. And I was good at it. But when I took this job, and when they're telling me, oh, yeah, so the success of our club depends upon you. You got to get after-school program so that from the after-school programs,
the kids, the younger kids can join Junior's Academy, but also they can be part of our club. You got to make sure that you have two or three teams finishing up Junior's Academy so that way they can become part of the club. You got to make sure that the parents are cared for. You got to make sure that the kids of your teams are cared for. Oh, man. I said, well, I am anxious. Because there was so much responsibility that was laid upon me. In those first 6 months, I tell you, they were the toughest 6 months that I ever experienced in my entire life. But it was worth it. Why it was worth it? Because it caused me to pray. It caused me to it made me weak. It broke me. It caused me to seek the Lord. I thought about quitting like 7-8 times and going back to my job. But I make sure that I call all the brothers, talk to my wife. Hey, here's where I'm going. That's the aspect. That's the beauty of being part of the church. That's the beauty of being part of our community. That you can talk with others and share your struggles. They're not going to laugh at your face, in your face. But they'll be like, I know what you're going through. I've been there. But you just continue to trust the Lord. So I grew. I grew because of that. I became stronger. Not in the sense of my own strength, but stronger trusting in the Lord. And so, seek the kingdom of God, and all this will be added unto you. So what is the nature of the things that we can see? Temporal. It's going to pass away. You know, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will remain forever. What is the nature of the unseen? It's eternal. It's going to last forever. It's going to last forever. In the way that which we do not lose heart. So I didn't mention that on the first verse. You know, the beginning of the verse talks about we do not lose heart. This is how we do not lose heart. By seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's how we do not lose heart. Because we seek to look at the Lord. So, I don't know where you are in your faith. Don't know where you are. Don't know where you're putting your trust. Don't know if you are looking at this world as it, or whether you are looking at eternity, at the unseen world. But my offer to you this morning is, do you want your affliction to be meaningless? Because that's really what it is. Will you not trust in and believe in Jesus Christ? Afflictions have no point. You're suffering for no reason. Now, it's God's divine way to wake you up. But if you don't wake up, all you are going through, it's just meaningless. It has absolutely no point. So trust and believe in Jesus Christ. Follow him. So that way you see the worth of what you're going through is not meaningless, because he's preparing for you a future weight of glory that you will not be able to comprehend. The greatest pleasures in this world will not compare to what will be given to us. But I also have to recognize that even though we know what we're supposed to do. Yes, we know that I don't need to be anxious. We know that my hope in Jesus Christ alone. We all know those things. We know that. That's what Paul says. We know what is the right thing to do. We all know that. This is why the gospel is so beautiful. Because the gospel is for you believers too. Our Lord Jesus Christ knows your struggles. He knows that you want to put all your faith. And that's what I'm telling my Lord. I want to put all my faith and trust upon you. I don't want to check my email. I don't want to put my hope in that my family will go well and my son will be a believer. I don't want to put my hope upon that. But my natural inclination, my outer self is waging war against that. And it causes me to want to focus upon those things. Remember that. Jesus Christ knows that. And he's not looking at none of us with condemnation and say, oh my goodness, didn't I tell you to seek me first? He's not up there saying that. He said, I died for you. I knew that was going to be your struggle. That's why I lived the perfect life. That's why I overcome temptation. I was the one that perfectly went and sought the kingdom of my Father. I did that for you. I did that perfectly for you. Now, will you put your trust in that realization? Will you put your trust in me day by day, day by day. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't lose heart. I have overcome the world. I was afflicted. I went through the pain. I went through the difficulties. I know that you're going to fall short. Jesus is saying, look at me. Look at me. Don't look to that which is seen. Don't look to that which is temporal. Look at me. I did it perfectly. So that's what the Lord Jesus has done for all of us believers in Christ Jesus. Look at him day by day. So to conclude, persecution is part of this world. Afflictions and difficulties are part of our life. But we don't lose heart because we know that they are preparing for us a future glory, an eternal glory. And all of these things that you are going through right now are light. And the way that they become light is by learning to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And recognize that when you're not seeking the kingdom of God perfectly, which we want, remember that Jesus Christ did it perfectly. So put your faith and trust in him alone. Will you please join me in prayer? Dear gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that nothing that we go through is in vain. Nothing. But you, God, are preparing for us a future world of glory that is going to help us to overcome this world. So I pray, Father God, that in this congregation, in all the congregations across the globe, that they will focus upon you, that they will seek your kingdom, that they will seek your righteousness, Lord. That all of us recognize that, Lord, everything will be given unto us, Father God, whether it's on this life or when we finally meet with you, Father God. So thank you so much, Father God, for the ability to proclaim your word. I pray, Father God, that you change our life day by day. And it's in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen.